The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ed Tremblay from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine, North Carolina History for Students. We'll be continuing today with Volume 61, Number 2, the Spring 2022 edition of the Tar Heel Junior Historian, which is titled Behind the Scenes at the North Carolina Museum of History. The first article today is The History Doctor is In by Jennifer French, who is the objects conservator at the North Carolina Museum of History. She has worked at the National Museum of the American Indian, Cleveland Museum of Art, and the North Carolina Division of Historic Sites. She has a bachelor's degree in archaeology from Boston University, and a master's degree in archaeological conservation from Durham University in the United Kingdom. Conservators are museum professionals who work to physically save the museum collection from damage caused by time, the environment, misuse, and natural disasters. We are the doctors of the museum world, taking actions toward preserving the objects that the curators find to enrich the museum collection. The role of the conservator is a varied one, and the best part of our job is being able to handle the wonderful objects in the museum collection. We use chemistry, arts and crafts such as woodworking, sewing, felting, and painting, and research to determine the best way to stabilize an object. Stabilization refers to maintaining the integrity of the object while at the same time minimizing deterioration of said object. This is different from restoration, which attempts to bring objects closer to their original appearance. With conservation, you will always be able to tell what we did to treat an object, either visually or through documentation and photographs. To ensure that the object has a good long life in the museum, conservators start with a full visual examination of the object. We note and research such things as what materials were used to make the object, how the object is constructed, and the date of the object. We work with the museum curators to determine some of these answers. When research fails us, conservators will undertake various scientific analyses. We use tools such as X-rays to see into objects without taking them apart. We examine the object with ultraviolet light to identify invisible coatings and unknown substances. Infrared light helps us to see underneath the surface of paintings. Sometimes we conduct chemical tests and employ analytical machines to identify substances and confirm or deny what the research tells us. Next, conservators look at the current condition of the object. Is the object broken or damaged? Does it have tears, breaks, cracks, chips, and/or dents? Has the surface corroded or been chemically altered? Does the surface have lifting layers such as paint or veneer? Does it just need a good dusting? This is when we also look at why the condition is the way it is. What is causing this damage? Is it the environment? Was the object dropped? Did an old repair by the previous owner or another conservator fail? Is the object material deteriorating because of how the material was created? These questions and more run through the conservator's mind when examining an object. Before you throw something out, an old toy, a book with a broken spine, or a cracked glass, look at it, ask yourself some of these questions, and see what the answers might be. After examination, conservators continue to the treatment portion of our job, also known as the really fun part. Treatment is where we get to improve the object's condition using a variety of materials, tools, chemicals, adhesives, and more. Conservators investigate new and different ways to treat objects, including looking at other professions for new tools, adhesives, coatings, or other treatment methods. All the materials that we use have been tested to ensure that what we use will not harm the object now or in the future. Conservators abide by a code of ethics where we agree to treat objects to the highest possible standard, while at the same time respecting the cultural significance of the object and the people who made it. We collaborate with curators, artists, and community stakeholders where possible to safeguard the physical stability and cultural importance of the objects within the museum's collection. Conservators also undertake what we call preventive conservation. As much fun as it is to examine and treat an object, conservators also like to make sure it does not happen again. This means we monitor the museum environment because temperature, humidity, pollution, and light, both visible and ultraviolet light, can all cause an object to deteriorate. In high humidity, mold can form and metals will corrode. Textiles and paper can fade and the material becomes brittle when constantly lit. This is why when you enter a museum gallery, the lights are low and the temperature may be a little cooler. These measures lengthen the time an object can be on display and can extend its general lifespan, allowing visitors to enjoy them more. Conservators also work with our mount maker and artifact handlers to create mounts and supports that won't damage an object while it's on display and in storage. We will look at new materials for storage and display, determining if this new material better protects or unknowingly harms the object. We are always learning. A closer look. Did you know that conservators do not have tools and materials that are made specifically for conservators or conservation? Fields that conservators borrow from include the medical and dental fields, woodworking, arts and crafts, auto repair, leatherworking, and welding. And with that is a photograph with the caption, Paige Myers, Textile Conservator, Mending a Teddy Bear for the exhibit Toy Boom. Here are the photographs also that accompany the article and have, here are their captions. This drum, circa 1850 to 1865, was used in the Civil War and brought by a wounded soldier from Norfolk to the home of Lewis H. Kittle of Henderson soon after Robert E. Lee's surrender. Magnification of the drum skin allowed a museum curator to identify the material as sheepskin. Did you ever do something so goofy that you felt like kicking yourself? People often say that, but technically it's not something you can really do. However, in June 1953, Tom Haywood of Croatan built a kicking machine to do just that. It was all in fun, of course, but it soon became a local tourist attraction, and photos appeared in newspapers and magazines across the country. In 1993, the family donated the contraption to the museum's collection. Jennifer French, objects conservator, carefully removes grime from the kicking machine's painted wood sign to get it ready for the upcoming exhibit, North Carolina A to Z. The next article is Putting It All Together by Lindsay Davis, who is a lighting and interactive designer in the design section at the North Carolina Museum of History. Have you ever heard of Disney World? Have you ever imagined what it would be like to come up with ideas for rides or the areas like Adventureland or Tomorrowland? How would you like to be an Imagineer? That's what the design staff at Disney is called. They use their imagination skills to come up with ideas to create the rides, the scenery, the restaurants, and even the ticket kiosks. Working in a museum is a lot like being an Imagineer. The people in the design section come up with ideas and then make plans, build, and document all of our exhibits. If you liked playing and learning in our recent Toy Boom exhibit, running through the trenches and answering the call, or dancing to beach music, then you have seen the work we do. Through collaboration, which is to work with another person or group in order to achieve, create, or do something, a wide sea of skills and a true love of all things history, we build exhibits that not only teach history, but also help you connect with people from the past. Where would you start when it comes to creating an exhibit? Maybe you'd do some research or ask others for advice? Here, we tackle the challenge of creating an exhibit through teamwork, by working closely with our team members in other departments. Fabricators build what the designers draw. Photographers work with the collections and graphic design sections to photograph artifacts or research our extensive collection of historical photos. Exhibit designers work with curators and educators when designing exhibit spaces. Mount makers work with collections to create the best ways to display objects. Our audiovisual crew works with marketing and education to create content for exhibits and online programs. The list goes on and on. By collaborating with others, we develop interesting, fun, and even educational exhibits. As you can see, exhibits are multifaceted and need a lot of different minds and talents to bring everything together. Everyone can bring something to the table. At the North Carolina Museum of History, our design section includes designers, fabricators, photographers, and technicians. Most positions within a museum require specialized education and are quite academic. But in the design section, we are a little different, and it is fun to be different. There are academic parts of the job, to be sure, but we are also extremely technical. Because we do so many different things here, we need a lot of different skills. So how does one acquire the academic and technical skills required for working in exhibits? Let me tell you, all roads lead to exhibits. Does working with robots help you get hired to build exhibits? Yes. Photojournalism? Yes. Restoring old homes? You bet. Building stairs? Absolutely. Theatrical set design? Of course. Audiovisual magician? Oh yeah. All these various professions have a common thread. They are creative and require knowledge of materials, geometry, and design. So polish your creative skills, get some book learning, and start heading toward exhibits any way you can. I think it's obvious. Exhibits are cool. What is a museum without an exhibit? We do this because we love what we do, not only presenting history, but also preserving it. History is a passion for many of our design team members. We love being able to bring stories from the past to life so that you can experience them for yourself. Like almost everything else, it is not always easy. Our job is challenging. We never do the same thing twice, and we are always learning. Whether we are learning new programs, working with new materials, or experimenting with a new technique, we continue to evolve and learn something every day. Not just in a technical sense either. Because we collaborate with collections and curation so much, we learn history. Because they give us interesting insights on the objects and stories used in exhibits. It is hard not to learn something every day. And I've been doing this for 10 years. One of my favorite parts of this job is the satisfaction of seeing a completed project. When we finish a project, it is visible. You can touch it, well, some of it. And sometimes it's what you can't see that is the most rewarding for us. How is that object presented so perfectly as if it were floating? We built it that way, and you will never see how we create the magic behind the scenes. The physical product of what we build is rewarding, but so is the personal result. The stories we tell are about real North Carolina people, and not all of them are in the long ago past. It is very fulfilling to meet some of them and their families and experience how proud they are to see their family story brought to life. Last, but certainly not least, we get up close and personal. Since we do everything, we see everything. We have front row seats to all the great events we offer. We get to burn the dugout canoe at the American Indian Heritage Celebration. And we even get to handle fascinating artifacts, very carefully and with gloves, during photography, mount making, and installation. What's the coolest thing that you have ever held? I'll go first. Mine is the Vince Lombardi Trophy. In design, we have lots of new opportunities to have fun, to learn how to do new things, and to understand our world through history. Obviously, a museum exhibit shows what happened in the past, but the very best exhibits help us feel what the people in the past felt. I hope you've felt connected to your past by visiting our museum. Here are the captions to the photographs. John Cope, exhibit designer, wears gloves as he carefully positions important objects in the museum's exhibit, North Carolina and World War I. AV lighting technician Joel Rhodes adds 45 RPM records for the top 200 beach music songs to the vintage jukebox in beach music. Exhibit designer Whitney Watson consults with other museum staff regarding object placement in a display case. Here, a G.I. Joe action figure and a toy Jeep for the exhibit Toy Boom Toys from the 1950s and 60s. Other staff members, objects conservator Jennifer French and curator Katie Edwards, only her white-sleeved arms are showing. Assembling graphics for beach music is one of the many tasks that Brian Bolduc, exhibit builder installer, performs for the design section. Trent Bowles, exhibit fabricator, applies finishing touches to a fake concrete block wall for the exhibit Beach Music Making Waves in the Carolinas. Stephen Gardner, exhibit fabricator, installs graphics for beach music, while artifact handler Barbie Foyle finishes preparing the display for artifact installation. And designer Lindsay Davis installs object mounts for beach music. There's a sidebar article, What's an Interactive? Let's be honest with ourselves. People are different. Not everyone reads all the labels in a museum. Shocking, I know. Some people read every word and comma. Others just want to breeze through and look at everything. So a great way to trick people into learning is to make information interactive. What does that mean? An interactive is anything you can touch or initiate or start. For example, a video or music element that you can start by pressing a button. A sound effect that is tripped by emotion, like walking past a sensor in a doorway. Or a game on a touchscreen computer. By designing and fabricating these exhibit elements, we are able to engage people who might not be too excited about the subject, but are eager to play a game or touch something. If you were going to make an interactive, what would you make? A video? A display that can be touched? A jukebox that can play music? A trivia game? All are great examples of interactives. So far today, we've looked at the collections and design sections of the museum. Next, the editorial and graphic design section, with the article Creative Energies by Doris McLean Bates. Doris is the chief of the editorial and graphic design section at the North Carolina Museum of History. Have you ever attended a birthday party that had a theme of costume superheroes? Did you go as Wonder Woman, Storm, the Black Panther, or Spider-Man? Or maybe you became Elsa from the movie Frozen, TV's SpongeBob SquarePants, or someone else. I once surprised my friends a few years ago when I showed up at a birthday party as Super Editor. Never heard of her? My friends had not either, so don't feel bad. She was my own creation that I had fun costuming. Speaking of the word editor, did you know what an editor does? According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, to edit means to prepare something written for publication or public presentation. So an editor is a person who works to get the words right. A publication is a book, magazine, or other piece that has been created and printed to share information with the public. Today, the word also can be used for a magazine delivered on the internet or on a website. This magazine that you are holding, the Tar Heel Junior Historian, has an editor. She helps create the theme and ideas for each issue, coordinates the writing of the articles for the magazine, she asks different authors to contribute their stories, uses her creative energy to look over the articles to ensure they are in good shape, The words are spelled correctly, the sentences are understandable, there are images with descriptions underneath, and so on. Works with the graphic designer to get the publication in design form, and handles other important editorial tasks. Having a good grasp of the rules of English grammar, being a good speller, knowing about North Carolina history, and paying attention to details are helpful abilities for an editor to possess. Now the term graphic designer was mentioned. What does a graphic designer do? Again, looking at Merriam-Webster, a graphic designer operates in the field of graphic design, which is the art or profession of using design elements such as typography and images to convey information or create an effect. What is typography? The style, arrangement, or appearance of printed letters on a page. The graphic designer who designs the pages of the Tar Heel Junior Historian works with the editor to create the look of the magazine. They also create a schedule and set deadlines, which is a date or time when something must be finished, the last day, hour, or minute that something will be accepted. She receives the edited version of the text from the editor, then uses her creative energy to develop pages that you will want to read. She uses fascinating photos or illustrations, breaks the text into digestible bites for the reader's ease, adds spots of color to help pages pop, incorporates different shapes to attract your eye, and more. An effective graphic designer knows standard design principles learned from design school and can envision the feel and emotion of a design that can appeal to an audience. The editor and graphic designer of Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine are part of the museum section called Editorial and Graphic Design. It includes staff members who function as historical publications editors and graphic designers. Both professions focus on process and creativity. Process involves the different phases of the editorial responsibility and graphic design duties when it comes to our assignments. Process is a series of actions that produces something or that leads to a particular result. Creativity is the ability to make new things or think of new ideas. Words drive an editor and visuals drive a graphic designer. In combining words and visuals, the two occupations develop a final creative product that can tell a story or make a statement, such as a Junior Historian magazine or a museum exhibition, or a digital ad, or a safety sign, and other print or online items. The development of the various products includes other members of the museum family, of course, like curators, educators, exhibit designers, collections registrars, marketing staff, and other necessary personnel. The section thrives on creative energy and has a passion for their contributions to the North Carolina Museum of History. Each member has been known to say, "I love what I do." To our young readers, we hope that when you grow up and begin working in a chosen profession, you will end up liking or even loving what you do as well. Here are the photograph's captions. Did you know that everything you see with words at the museum has been touched by the creative energies of an editor and a graphic designer? From directional signs to panels in an exhibit, everything has been edited and designed. Here are just a few examples. A museum brochure, a rack card about education programs, a save-the-date postcard for the exhibit, The North Carolina Roots of Artist Ernie Barnes, a poster for the exhibit Beach Music, Making Waves in the Carolinas, a banner that hangs outside the museum to advertise the permanent exhibit, The Story of North Carolina. Each year, museum editors and graphic designers work together to bring our exhibits to life. Editor Stephen Evans and graphic designer Daryl Ketchum used their creative energies to make the exhibit One Giant Leap, North Carolina and the Space Race, eye-catching, interesting, and interactive. Graphic designer Obelia Exum created the graphics and design for this large outdoor banner, which was placed outside the museum to let people know about an upcoming African-American cultural celebration event. She also used these graphics to create posters, marketing materials, and even a tote bag. How does an article typed in a Word document turn into a fun page like this one. The editor and graphic designer combine their skills to create a layout for the publication. A layout is the design or arrangement of text or words and images, photo and art, on the page. They pick a typeface. They choose photos and other images to illustrate the article. And they decide what goes where on the page. At the museum, graphic designers use a program called InDesign to design the publication and create digital files. Here's a sidebar article, Tools of the Trade. Do your teachers ever ask you to edit your draft of a paper or essay? Editors have lots of tools for making a written piece better, and you can use them too. See these funny marks and squiggles on the left? Those are standard professional proofreading marks. We use them when editing text and also for marking up changes or errors on a proof. The chart display explains what each one means. Try using them on some of your schoolwork and show off what a professional editor you are. The proof reading marks include capitalize, make it lowercase, spelling mistake, add a period, delete or remove, add a word, add a comma, reverse words or letters, add an apostrophe, add quotation marks, make a space, close the space, and begin a new paragraph. Next article, True or Maybe Not. When this piece of glass was acquired by museum founder Fred Olds in the early 1900s, he believed the note attached to it was correct. It reads, "A piece of the lighthouse lamp destroyed at Cape Hatteras in 1862 by order of the Confederate government and brought to Raleigh by the state militia." Today we know that the Fresnel lens from Cape Hatteras Lighthouse was dismantled in 1861 and hidden away during the Civil War before being restored in 1870. So while the piece in our collection is not from Cape Hatteras, other primary sources suggest it could have been from one of North Carolina's many other lighthouses. What do you think? You can view this artifact in the museum's permanent exhibit, The Story of North Carolina, and make your own guess. A Day in the Life at the North Carolina Museum of History. Museum staff work hard to preserve, document, and share North Carolina's history, but we also have a lot of fun doing it, too. Here are a few behind-the-scenes moments from our history of working at the museum. Curator Raylana Poteet answers questions from students during a tour of the Discover Your Governors exhibit. Exhibit designer Whitney Watson works with teammates on the installation of priceless works of art into exhibit cases during the traveling exhibit, The Tsar's Cabinet, 200 Years of Russian Decorative Arts Under the Romanovs. We'll continue this article in the future. Right now, we've run out of time for today's episode of North Carolina History. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ed Tremblay, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.